This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. Good. Let's see. Early Happy New Year, late Christmas, happy everything, happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa, happy whatever you're celebrating. What was it? Friend Christmas or something like that?
Friendsgiving?
That's it. Friendsgiving. We missed that one too. That was Thanksgiving. Friendsgiving.
That's a big one now. People love celebrating Friendsgiving.
They do?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I did. No, I don't know if I ever have. Maybe one time, but that's an annual tradition for some people.
They just get together with friends. Is that what it's all about?
Yeah. Yeah. You have your traditional Thanksgiving with your family, but then you always have a Friendsgiving.
A Friendsgiving day. Oh, separately.
Separately. So like for example, there's a Valentine's Day, and now the new thing is to have Galentine's Day, where it's just women. A lot of single women, usually. Not all, but a lot.
Ethan's sighing.
You don't go to Galentine's Day?
Oh, events? I mean, me and my gals. We just do it up.
I don't even do like girls trips and things like that. Do you still do that, Kim? Did you ever do that, Kim? I don't do that stuff.
I guess I've done some girls trips, but it's been a while. Now that we all have kids, it's a little harder to be like, hey, hubby, you want to watch the kids for 4 days, 5 days, and we'll go have fun on the beach?
We do a guys trip.
What you do? Like, what do you weekend? Do? Hunting, fishing? What do you do?
We just pick a place and go. I think this year we're going to Louisville.
Louisville for what?
Bourbon tours.
Bourbon tours. I just saw online here that another bourbon company is going bankrupt. Did you see that?
Jim
this
Beam.
Morning. No, it was a different one. Other than they were like,
that was the last one.
Sorry. Yeah, one of them closed a particular building.
Yeah, that was Jim
somewhere.
Beam.
Okay, right. Here's another one. This is another. Let's see. This is Ohio-based Scott Distillery. Apparently. Filed for bankruptcy December 22nd because I guess people are just not drinking the bourbon as much as they used to.
Which is funny because I feel like bourbon's become very trendy. I mean, it's always been trendy, but especially now. Like, my brother-in-law has a whole bourbon YouTube channel.
He does?
And he'll meet up with other bourbon lovers, and they'll taste, you know, each person brings a bottle of bourbon, and they'll try it and sample it, and yeah, it's a whole thing.
Well, what's Mark Cox into? Is it bourbon?
Bourbon.
Bourbon.
I've been drinking with Mark Cox. I have.
Is it bourbon?
Yeah, it was bourbon. I can't drink as much as he does. Now, I'm not saying he's a problem drinker, but I mean, I don't like bourbon that much. So I take like a sip and it's like, okay, that's enough. I can appreciate the taste of it, but I can't drink like a whole shot of it or anything.
Oh, I was going to say, you also weigh like what, 110 pounds? So that has an impact.
Well, not quite, but yeah. And plus, I'm not much of a drinker either. I guess if you drink, and I'm not saying he is, but people who have it more often, obviously, are in a better, you know, it tends to affect me so much more since I almost never drink anymore, just because I just don't choose to. I've noticed it, boy, if you drink, this is a weird example, but I'll give it to you. The other day, I've been cutting way back on the Diet Pepsi. And this week, especially because I've got a lot of radio to do, and last week, a lot of radio to do, I'm eating like Brady. I'm doing like, you know, broccoli, chicken, doing all the good stuff, right? Make sure I get enough sleep and feel good and everything. Had a Diet Pepsi the other day. I felt so bad. And when you get away from something, then you realize how badly it makes you feel.
Yes. Right? Sue cut out added sugar, and I've done that before too. And man, when you go back to it, you realize how crappy you feel. But what's frustrating is if you go, say, a month without it, because it's extremely addicting, sugar is. We're all
Absolutely.
Probably addicted.
Yep.
But you have one little taste of it, and instantly you'll start craving again. But if you cut it out, you'll really start to not crave it as much.
Yeah, it's hard because it's in everything. I mean, peanut butter. I don't get peanut butter with sugar in it. But I mean, if you're not careful, it shows up in all kinds of things. Spaghetti sauce. I mean, places where you don't even need sugar, it shows up. If I'm going to do sugar, I'm going to grab the whole tub of red vines and call it a day. I don't want it in my spaghetti sauce. Can we just be honest here?
Oh, it's hard. That's one of the biggest things I look for now is no added sugar. Because obviously you're going to have things like fruit and stuff that has natural sugar in it, whatever. But yeah, all this junk that they put in it, and you look at the, you compare what you have in Europe, and then you see like the brightly colored cereal with all the nasty dyes and everything that they do to make it more visually appealing to all of us. And it's disgusting. And thank goodness there have been, I mean, very successful efforts on the Trump administration under the leadership of RFK Jr., where they've been, a lot of these companies are vowing to get rid of these dyes and other toxic chemicals that they sneak into our food.
Yeah. And remember, there's a lot of stuff they put in our food here they can't put in the food in Europe.
Oh,
even
I know.
Europe has higher standards than we do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why you can go and have a serious allergy to gluten and you can eat the pasta and the bread over there, but you have it here and you are going into like anaphylactic shock.
No, that's true. I'm not saying I'm not going to have red vines on Super Bowl Sunday, because who's going to make it a Super Bowl? Anybody got a prediction here on that, by the way? We're not a sports channel, but...
No, I haven't even been following it. I mean, Super Bowl, yeah, I don't really have a dog. I mean, certainly not, you know, would never be the Chiefs. They're not, they've been not great this year at all.
They've been horrible.
Now people, with them moving over to Kansas, even if they had gotten to that point where they were, you know, on that track, I mean, maybe people would just out of protest wouldn't want to support them.
People weren't real happy with them. Not at all. Yeah, I watched the 49ers game. It was great the other night. The Niners and who were they playing? I can't remember. Shame on me. It was a great game, though. Oh, they were playing the Eagles. It was a great game.
I don't love the NFL. I would way rather watch college football.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ethan, what about you?
After the Rams left, I quit watching it.
Okay.
They kind of burnt me.
Some bitter people. Okay, I understand.
I get it.
The end zones will say things like end racism. That's not why I don't care. I just don't think that the NFL is as exciting for some reason as college, you know, college football. But that also irritated me how they got so political.
I'm with you. I gave up on the 49ers. I was a fan of theirs for decades. And then I gave up on them after the Colin Kaepernick stuff. I was like, I'm done. And this is so ridiculous. And boy, there's a guy, you know, they grabbed Philip Rivers out of retirement, but Colin Kaepernick still sits on the sidelines.
First of all, he's not that great. And second of all, the guy is very controversial. And a lot of teams understandably don't want to deal with his nonsense.
Well, not if you're trying to get people together to talk about some grievance. That's not how it's supposed to go. You're supposed to play as a team. You're supposed to be talking about unity, not constantly trying to separate people by groups. And that's one of the reasons he never played again, which you can't blame him.
Nope.
People don't need the nonsense.
Well, he still tries. He's like, hey, and everyone, anyone listening? I'm available. I'm free. Hey.
I wonder what he thought of Philip Rivers getting the call up and not him.
He's done pretty well.
I know.
Grandpa. Everyone talks about how he's a grandpa.
Isn't that great? I mean, here's a guy, 10 kids, not that I'd want to go that route, but God bless him. 10 kids, one wife. There's a shocker in the NFL. And God bless him. I love his story. It's a great story.
But he's not a typical grandpa age. I think we have to point that out, because when you hear, I mean, yes, factually he is a grandpa, but when you hear grandpa, all of us think, you know, someone in their 70s or their 80s. The guy's like in his upper 40s.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's old for the NFL, no doubt.
Yeah, and God bless it. I love the good stories. I mean, there's some really great human interest stories in the NFL. You know, even Kelsey, his story to get into the NFL wasn't as clear as it should have been. A lot of people have gone through a lot of things. And Josh Allen from the Bills, you know, there was a story that Fox ran the other day about him emailing all of these coaches when he was in high school, trying to get anybody to give him a scholarship, you know, everyone. And they all just rejected him. Finally got in some little silly college near where I'm not putting the college down, but a small college you never heard of near where he lived, then got into Wyoming. But I mean, here's a guy playing amazingly well. I just love those stories because these guys have to fight so hard to get where they are. And I always appreciate people who don't give up.
Well, it's like Kurt Warner. There was that whole movie on him, and he has a phenomenal story. He went to the Iowa Barnstormers and was very successful here in St. Louis. And yeah, I mean, the guy could have easily quit, right? Because a lot of people didn't have faith in him, and he persevered. And I mean, what a cool story.
Bagging groceries to win in the Super Bowl.
There you go. And he and Brenda have done awesome work, too.
Yeah, I love that story. Those are the things that I like, you know, because, you know, they're all challenges. No matter what you do for a living, there are challenges involved and setbacks. And the fact that these guys overcome, a lot of guys get into the NFL and they think they're something special, and they don't feel like they have to listen to any, you know, coaches or anybody else. And the guys who persevere are the ones who have the humility and the work ethic to make it. And I appreciate that.
Well, work ethic is hard to come by these days.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, speaking of that, we're going to talk about a teacher in Dallas who's horrified by how poorly her eighth grade students are doing now. It's scary stuff. That and more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. Good morning. Happy New Year early. Happy or late Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hope you had a good one. We were talking about that earlier this morning. Such a weird week because it's divided. Whereas if it was just, like when Christmas was on a Sunday and New Year's on a Sunday, it'd be different, but it's all split up. Some people work to this part of this week and they're off part of this week and last week and part of last week. And you don't know when to get anything done if you're dealing with a business either, right? Who's even working that week?
It's hard to get a hold of anybody. And the week just kind of, even though a lot of us have a shortened week, it just kind of drags.
I will give you a little hint, though. I discovered this last year. If you need to get into a doctor's office where normally there's, you're caller number 82 in the lineup, right? This is a good week to do it because there are a lot of people still working. Not everybody, but a lot of people are working. And then a lot of people aren't calling because they assume they're closed. So I'm just giving you a little tip here.
That's true. Some places are crazy busy at the end of the year. So it's funny how that works.
That's true. Here's a teacher in Dallas, Texas. She goes by the name of Miss L. Put a TikTok video up talking about how her eighth grade students are doing. She said, I don't understand how these kids ended up at this point. I teach eighth grade history. I have 110-ish students. Two of them are reading a grade level right now. Two of them are reading a grade level. Two out of 110. Two. She said 18 of them are at the kindergarten level. 55 of those students are between a second and fourth grade level. She said it's typical of what I've seen lately from students. This is crazy.
Well, think about how many of those kids were impacted by COVID.
Okay, you're a mom, Kim. Okay, you know and I know that if you have children, there's no possible way you can't know your child can't read. Because what you do is you sit your kid down at the kitchen table when they're old enough to read and you have them read a book out loud and you can know right then, can they read or not? Well, where do they get stuck? I mean, you will do that when your son gets older, when both your sons get older.
Yeah, no, I agree. You would probably know. I mean, we read a book every night with our kids, but the challenge though would be because some of these parents would know their kid can't read, right? Because this is more so talking about, well, this is the percentage versus like, this is the percentage of parents who knew and are trying to get help, because how many resources are even available to get the kids help to try to catch them up? Because maybe COVID is what really screwed them up and they can't afford private tutoring. There's a lot of challenges where I feel bad for these parents whose kids were impacted by virtual learning and, everyone's wearing a mask and that was impacting kids' ability to read lips. And that does make it very challenging to be at the same level you should be for reading. And some of these school districts are just terrible.
Well, whose kids are they?
They're the parents, but I also hold the school. Right. I do believe that it's a lack of, I don't want to say a lack of good teachers. I think there's amazing teachers out there.
Absolutely.
But just like any industry, okay, you have some bad apples and you have some school districts where things are not, teachers aren't held accountable and the school, a lot of things just go by the wayside and maybe this is one of them.
Or start holding kids back again.
Start holding kids back. They're worried about hurting feelings. And again, kids were impacted by COVID. Maybe half the classes should have been held back.
Well, yeah, but what about the parent? I mean, like you said, I asked my mom one time because I was reading fifth grade level when I was like in first grade. Okay, not that I'm any genius. I'm not. But I remember the only get over I had as a little kid was they come up to my desk all day long. What's to say? What's to say? What's to say? I just happened to read better than I asked my mom. I said, how did you teach me to read? And she said, I just read to you and you picked it up. That's what she said.
Yeah, so but there's a lot of students like that that they just, it's not the same. I will defend
maybe,
that a little
I'm no
bit.
Genius. I'm not trying to be, I'm not saying I'm any kind of genius. I'm just saying where was the parent's obligation come into this? If you've got to stay involved with your kids and you're supposed to be teaching them those basic things, their colors, their numbers, their letters, that's what you should be teaching at home.
Well, I agree. However, I will say a lot of parents are both working outside the home now. So you get home, you maybe have a couple hours, you're making dinner. Some kids have sports, you're running around to different activities. So I do have, I have a lot of empathy for parents who are in a tough position. They're both working to try to make ends meet and they just feel like they simply don't have the time to properly allocate to, hey, let's make sure you know your numbers. Let's make sure you know your colors and you're reading at grade level, things like that.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes down to also not only parental involvement and having the time to do these things, but also grandparent involvement. If you've got grandparents who are involved and spend time with the kids and things like that, who help and kind of reinforce and things like that, that makes it better too. Because you can't count on daycare centers, any of those kind of places to do it. You just can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of, I don't have any grandparents left. Obviously, I'm not a child anymore. But I mean, yeah, I agree. Being around family members who are investing them to certainly can help. But yeah, definitely a lot of the responsibility falls on the parent, but teachers and the school districts in general are not off the hook. It's been,
no,
they have in many cases failed students, and it's not all on the parents. There's a lot of it on the parents, but it's not all on the parents.
No, and I had a guy call the show one time when I was doing my own show, and he called up and he said, I like all day kindergarten. He said, because my little boy has been in all day kindergarten for 3 weeks and he can count to five now. Yeah, and I did. I got real quiet, dead air. I was like, if your child didn't know how to count to five before he got to kindergarten, your kid is never going to get anywhere. I mean, because if you're not teaching even that, you're not talking to the kids about it, then I don't know even what to tell you. No one's asking you to teach your kid quantum physics, but at the very least, you've got to teach your kid these kind of how to tie shoes, how to ride a bike, you know, how to do these basic things in life that should not be left to the teachers. But there are a lot of people who say, well, that's the teacher's job. I've heard people say that.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, for example, that's why it's important when it comes to different issues with, like, your body and think there are certain things that teachers should not be teaching. Like, leave it. It should be left up to the parents.
Right. But you can't, to me, you can't have it both ways. You can't say they're my kids. You have no right to teach my kid about sex ed or anything else when you're not teaching your kid anything at home and they're not reading and they're not writing and they're not doing at least the basics. You know, how's a teacher supposed to teach 30 kids in kindergarten when none of them have been exposed to reading like your child has, like I was? How's a teacher supposed to get 30 of those kids up to speed in a year? I mean, I don't know how you do that when nobody spent the time when they were little. Plus, when you read to your child as a little child, like, I mean, I'm a fanatic reader, always have been, always reading multiple books, and I always love to read. You got to instill that in your child early, and you instill that in your child by reading to them like you do with your child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's important.
It's sweet to see Easton right now, who'll be 3 in February. It's cute because he's at the point now where he opens a book and he quote-unquote reads, where he just says gibberish and cute little things and, you know, looks at the pictures, and it's really adorable.
Right. It's his book. It's not the phone that he's looking at. He's looking at a book. And when people say, well, my kid doesn't like to read, or when I hear adults say, I never understood this when adults say, I don't like to read. Well, what are you? I'm not saying you need to read something boring. Find a topic that interests you. There's nothing that interests you that you can get a book on. I mean, because there's just so much you're not going to know about the world if you don't read. You should always be reading and increasing your mind. And a lot of kids, and if you don't know how to read, then you get frustrated and you're 10, 12, 13 years old and you can't read a book. You could just look at, you know, texts on your phone that are misspelled. You don't even notice. I mean, that's really difficult. The teacher also went on to say, she said, they cannot apply inference. They cannot process questions that are longer than a sentence. They cannot connect cause and effect. They can't multi-track, they can't track multi-step ideas. She said, it's scaring me a little. How scary is that?
I've heard that's the thing.
Teacher.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case at a lot of schools where teachers are realizing that kids are just the basic skills that you'd think they'd have at a certain age. They don't have them.
Yeah. And how can you build on that as a teacher? I mean, God bless teachers. It's a real a gift, and I have nothing but respect for teachers. They do the best they can. But you, parents have to do their part. I mean, what are you supposed to do if nobody can do what they're supposed to be doing at 4 and 5 years old, and then they never really catch up? And if your parents aren't doing the work before then, they're not going to do it when you're 7 or 8 or 9.
Yeah. I mean, parents absolutely have a responsibility. But if you're paying, for example, for private school, I expect those teachers to be teaching math, teaching reading, doing all the things. I mean, I expect my child to be learning and getting a good education, but it doesn't stop there. It starts at the home and it ends at the home. But you have school reinforcing that.
Absolutely. And none of this 3 hours of homework nonsense so nobody gets time with their kid. That's ridiculous. Another topic for another day. I'm Heidi Harrison.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For Mark. I'm Heidi Harris. Good morning. Happy New Year early. Late Merry Christmas. Hope you had a good time with your family over the holiday season. You got to spend it with people you like. Did you take anything back from Christmas, Miss Kim?
Take anything back?
Or were you grateful to get Christmas presents and didn't race over to Walmart the next day to return them like so many ungrateful people always do?
I might be returning a couple things, maybe one thing that I got that was something I already had. But other than that, we're not big on gifts. We do Secret Santa for my family and my in-laws. My husband and I don't generally get each other anything. We would rather buy something for our son. And, you know, I'm just not a big gift giver. In fact, if anything, I feel like I'm kind of the Scrooge where I get this feeling of just, I get irritated with how obsessed with gifts everybody is.
Yes,
and
totally.
So it's almost like to counter that, I just don't want to get gifts at all. So sometimes I have to fight my Scrooge-ness.
Yeah, don't you get that way once in a while? You just start to react and go, and you're pushing back, and you say, "No, I'm not doing anything because I'm so tired of the commercialization of it." Yeah,
right.
You got kids, you got to do something, but yeah, you just get because you can feel like you get sucked in. I guess the hardest part for this time of year, and we all know what Christmas is about, our Savior, we get all that. But I think the hardest part is all the expectations everybody has, right? Got to go here. You got to go there. Got to send out cards. Got to get gifts. Got to do this. Got to do that. And you're like, no, I don't. I don't have to do. There's some things I have to do. But you look at my list of the 20 things you expect me to do, and I have to do like 2 of them. And that's it.
Yeah. We didn't send out Christmas cards. In fact, I don't think I've ever done that. I would love to. Just never been that diligent to do it with enough time to actually send them out. And, you know... people probably make fun of me for this, but we've been so blessed with my sisters giving us hand-me-down toys and clothes. I mean, it's crazy. Our whole basement has so many toys. So we really haven't had to buy many, if any. And so sometimes I will go downstairs, as I did this year, and I will find some cars that my son has never seen because, you know, new to him. And I just find a few things and wrap them up, and he gets to open that up. So thank you to my sisters who have provided gifts for my child for the last couple of years.
Well, that's smart. And you know, you're reusing things, which is important.
Well, and we have so many toys. Quite frankly, I don't know that I want that many more toys. So I just think, if anything, I want to donate some. So I'm just thinking, like, let me give him something where I know he'll play with it and be excited about it. We're saving money. That's not the biggest thing, but we are saving money. And I'm not adding more to the mix.
You know, they say if you have a dog, and this is not a good example, but I'm going to use it anyway. They say if you have a dog, you're not supposed to have more than like 3 toys or something. Do they say that about kids?
Well, they talk about toy rotation.
Okay. All right.
Like, don't just keep buying toys. Use a handful of toys and basically just rotate them around so that when they see them in 3 months, they feel like it's a new toy and they're excited about it again.
Yeah. Or not only that, but they're using their imagination to make the toy fun.
So that's with dogs too?
Well, I don't know about the dogs too, but I mean, my dog has so many stuffed toys, my big poodle. And every time I open the front door, because our front door, front of our house is fenced, let him go outside, he grabs a toy. And he's 7 years old. He's not a puppy. He'll grab a stuffed toy and take it outside. Well, then pretty soon I have like 12 stuffed teddy bears in my front lawn out there. And my husband has to bring them in when the sprinklers are going to go on, because he doesn't want them getting wet. And then it's a whole thing. So then I put him back in the basket. And I mean, the basket's literally full of stuffed toys. I get him at thrift stores and things like that, right? Garage sales or what. And I just put him in there, and then he'll drag one out each time he goes outside. Then I bring him back in, and, you know, so I guess three's not enough for him.
Well, I was going to say, if you have a dog that rips him to shreds, that's the problem, where you're replacing every week.
Yeah, he did that when he was a puppy, and that's why I don't spend the money on him. It rips their eyeballs out, first of all, and their nose off, depending on, yeah, so he doesn't do that anymore, but yeah, he did.
That's cute, though. He wants a little teddy bear.
He does. He'll carry it around with him. He'll carry it on the walk if I let him.
Uh-huh.
And I would, except that, you know, two doors down, he'll drop it. And then I'm stuck. You know what it's like. You're a mom. I don't have to explain this to you. Your child leaves the house with something. And then the minute you go somewhere, he's dropping it, or mommy hold this, mommy hold that.
Yep.
You wind up with all
not
the stuff,
as cool so. Anymore. Yep. He wants to bring his monster cool. truck everywhere right now.
Oh, good boy. Monster truck. That is. Have you ever been to the monster truck show?
Oh, right. So I've been to Monster Jam before, but we're going again in January, which I'm thrilled
so
about.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. There isn't that the funnest thing ever.
It's loud. Whenever people see him, he says, "I go to Monster Jam. I wear headphones on my ears." He tells everyone he has to wear headphones on his ears because it's loud.
Is it indoors? I guess it would be.
Oh,
indoors.
It's indoors. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's at the Enterprise Center, but I mean, it is loud. He loves Gravedigger. Got a Gravedigger for Christmas.
Oh. Who doesn't love Gravedigger? Yeah, it's fun to watch it. It's just a fun show. And I've met a couple of those guys over the years, you know, doing, you know, radio business. And they just all seem very nice. It just seems like a fun family thing you can take your kids to that they can get into.
And I hear very patriotic, those drivers, which is cool, too. Makes you want to support them as well for that reason.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. It's fun. It's fun to find things you can take your kids to. Here's some good news. A report by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development recently revealed, ready for this, billions in taxpayer funds that went to questionable, ready, rental assistance recipients under former President Joe Biden.
No,
I know. Shocking. The recipients included approximately, listen to this, 30,000 deceased tenants and thousands of potential non-citizens. Now, we have talked in the past, and I know you and Mark have talked about this too. It's a big issue when it comes to how much apartment rent is now. How many illegals have been taking up these homes and apartments that are rentals, right? We don't know the number. But we know that a lot of people, you know, let's say you have an apartment building, and I come to you and I'm the government, and I say, okay, you've got 100 apartments. All right, just fill them up with the illegals, and the check will clear every single month. You won't have to chase tenants around. The check will clear every month. I will give it to you. Boom. Which landlord's going to turn that down? Name one.
Well, right. Those are more headache. The reason why a lot of people don't want to do Section 8, though, even though it is a guaranteed rent check every month from the government, right. It's a headache to deal with the tenants. But some people are willing to do that in exchange for a guaranteed rent, because you don't want to hound the person and not have payment coming in. So,
exactly.
I mean, I get it from that standpoint, but you can't ask somebody their immigration status when you're renting to them or selling to them. And we dealt with that because we were selling a home, and like a week before we were supposed to close, this is recently, like within the last number of months, turns out that the guy was an illegal. And he had been arrested and was being deported. And so they came back and they said, we can't buy this anymore. Well, we had already, everything was under contract again. We're a week from closing. So we're figuring out if we can sue. Every lawyer is telling us, the few lawyers who would talk to us for free without, you know, like a $300 fee to talk to them, which I get. But basically, we're like, it's not worth your money. You're going to spend a fortune and you're not going to get much. So come to find out that the brother of this woman was going to sign for the illegal guy. And then so we're like, okay, we're back on. We're good. We cleared the whole house out with everything we had staged with. And quite literally, as soon as my husband got back with the massive U-Haul where we unloaded everything from the house, they backed out again the day before we were set to close. So we never got to close.
Wow. So you just
incredibly
still
frustrating.
Have the house.
We still have the house. We rent it out now. And we did get some money from them because we did threaten a lawsuit, and it allowed us to get some money from them. But I mean, they were, you know, making sort of all sorts of demands on, I need a new roof and I need new this and that. And so we're doing some of the things. So we said, look, we paid thousands of dollars to accommodate you, and you as an illegal are the reason why we now have to put this house back on the market or rent it out.
My gosh, what a pain in the butt. So you're stuck. You have renters now. They're pretty good so far.
Yeah, it's worked out.
Yeah, but that sucks though when you're trying to buy a house. Like you said, you took all the furniture out that you staged it with.
Yes.
That's what you needed to sell it to somebody or to take pictures to try to sell it to somebody. Oh my gosh, what a mess.
Yep.
What a mess. I had a guy one time, we were trying to buy a house and I liked it a lot and went over to the guy's house. I made a stupid mistake I won't make again. I bought some furniture for the house. Don't ever do that till you own the house. And then it turned out the guy had like IRS loans. Okay. And the guy was kind of half out of it. I was walking around the house. He kept repeating the same stories to me, the owner. He was an older guy and, you know, whatever. Okay. So that's fine. But apparently he didn't quite have his finances in order. So we waited like 30 days for him to clean up his IRS debt. Okay. Because we didn't care. There was nothing else on the market we liked that much. So we said, okay, we'll wait. And then right when it goes to closing, Title found that he had yet another loan on the house. He didn't tell anybody. I felt bad for his realtor because his realtor had been dealing with this client for months. And then what? You have another loan on the house? And Title found it. And we said, we are not paying more this, you know, any. We're not going to pay for that. That's not happening. We're not going to overpay for this house.
Right. That's not your problem.
No, we wound up getting a house we liked better. But it was, you know, so I've been there with you. And that just sucks. The ups and downs of it. You think you're selling it. You're not selling it. Someone backed out. You know, they get an inspection and they complain about 50 different things. And you're willing to fix 10 and all that nonsense. So it's the joys of homeownership, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. And if you feel bad for the realtor, too, because they wouldn't have gotten paid had that sale not gone through.
Right. And they wouldn't have gotten it. This particular realtor, my realtor, it wasn't mine. It was the client's realtor, the seller's realtor. They wouldn't have gotten involved if they knew this guy had all these liens on the property. You know? And then after we didn't buy it, and the house had beautiful landscape, and we didn't buy it, that thing sat empty for, I want to say, 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was a crime because all the plants died and all that kind of stuff. And that happens a lot. But yeah, so we've all been there. But I'm not surprised that Biden is allowing people to live, you know, illegals and everything else and, you know, fake records. I mean, this is the stuff that Trump's trying to uncover. Hashtag, this is what we voted for, right? Mm-hmm. God bless him. This is good stuff. That would never have been discovered under the Biden administration. Guaranteed. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Good morning. Happy New Year early. Merry Christmas late. The crew is here. We are here. Kim, Ethan, and I, Mark returns. When will Mark be back? Thursday?
Monday.
Friday? Monday.
We should call him and tell him he's back Thursday, New Year's Day.
That would be kind of funny, wouldn't it? All right. Trying to keep track here. It's been a crazy holiday season. I've done so much radio the last 2 weeks. I'm blurry at this point.
Yeah, I bet.
It's all good, though. CNN did a poll earlier this month. And this is scary because everyone expects J.D. Vance to be the next, obviously, the next presidential candidate on the right, right? Only 22% of Republicans support J.D. Vance. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
Well, so who's getting more support than him?
Well, not really anybody. That's the problem. There's not really anybody there. I mean, there's Marco Rubio says he won't get in between. Marco Rubio's not going to run for office if J.D. Vance, he's already been there and done that. Don't run for office if there's no shot for you, right?
Right. But I still think that people will put their support behind him. I mean, TPUSA has already said that they're supporting him.
Yeah, they did. 64%. This is really scary with Republicans. 64% said they had no one specific in mind to top the 2028 ticket. That's amazing to me.
Are these people living under a rock? Do they know that J.D. Vance is the vice president?
Well, I know the Democrats don't have anybody. You know, who do they have? Kamala, Gavin Newsom, Buttigieg. He's not. I mean, these people, they don't have anybody that they can cite.
Gavin, I'll guarantee you Gavin will run.
But anyway, I don't normally mention other people, but I want to mention it real briefly. Steve Bannon, you know who he is, worked for Trump. You know Steve Bannon.
But here's the thing. Can you really trust the CNN poll? Because what types of people are they going out and talking to? Like, as soon as someone on the right hears it's a CNN poll, are they going to say, oh, I'm not interested? How do they even conduct these polls would be my question.
Well, that's what we don't
trust
really
the results.
I mean, can you, you know, the truth is, And I get this once in a while when I put things on my Heidi Hare Show Facebook page. If I do put a story from CNN on there, it's generally something I've seen other places, and I just put it whichever the quickest one that I find is. I'll see, you know, multiple people talking about it. Everything they do isn't, you know, a lie, and everything that Fox says isn't the truth. Can we all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
There are things that get glossed over. Fox News doesn't want to mention various things, and CNN, same thing. But they mentioned Steve Bannon in here. This is interesting to me. Steve Bannon apparently advocated that the president should attempt to seek a third term. I mean, I ignore Bannon most of the time. I think he's a really smart guy, but a little out there sometimes. But here's the important thing. He said that Bannon said that J.D. Vance is just not tough enough for the job. Now, I would disagree with that. I think that J.D. Vance is not as bombastic as Trump. You know, he's not going up in their elbows out. But I mean, I think he's when I've seen him, he's been very good in debates, very good when he's handling himself with reporters. I think he's done really well.
Guy just trained with a Navy SEAL, said he's kicked his butt. But still, I mean, the guy is tough. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he demolished Tim Walz in the debate. Not hard to do, probably, but still, he was so composed. And I thought he did a phenomenal job. I've been impressed with him in general. Absolutely, yes. I'd support J.D. Vance at this point, unless in the next, you know, year or two before people start saying they're running, he does something really stupid. You know, no, I don't know what reason there would be to not support him. I can only imagine that Donald Trump will go ahead and endorse him.
Of course he will. I can't imagine that he wouldn't. It's so interesting. The other day, somebody was talking about saying something negative about his wife, which I do not understand. You know, there's some racist idiots out there who make comments about Usha, which is ridiculous. To me, she seems like she's a class act of a human being.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody said something, he told them to eat poop, and I cleaned that up for the air.
Okay, I was going to say, well, you know, there was
I think that's great.
There was one thing he said, though, he did talk about after Charlie Kirk died, because I guess they were friends, and he was so sweet to both J.D. Vance and Usha were very sweet to Eric Kirk and stuff after that happened, but I didn't like how he said something about, like, I wish Usha were Christian. Although I would support that and I would agree with that, being divisive like that about his wife publicly was not smart.
Yeah, I know a lot of, and of course, you know, a lot of the opposition jumped right onto that. Oh, he's having an affair with Erica. Look how he hugged her and all this nonsense.
Dumb.
You saw that.
The
it's
hug
really
was a
dumb.
Little odd, but just because she hugged him that way doesn't mean she's having an affair with him and that they're secretly in love.
I know. People are just, they have nothing else to do with their time, do they?
But yeah, the hug thing, I don't know. I don't, when I hug men, I don't put my hand. I love Erica. I would just, it was, I don't put my hand on.
She put her hand behind his head, right?
Right, like in his hair. I don't do that.
Yeah, I do the quick hug, and I've never put my hands on a man's hair, but I don't want to pick on her. God bless her.
Right. I mean, she's been through it so much.
Right. She's been through so much. And some people are, you know, I'm a hugger. Some people are not. I know some women, especially women who have, you know, more curvy kind of women, sometimes don't like hugging people because it makes them feel uncomfortable.
I guess so. I don't know. I'd call myself kind of curvy.
Yeah, because
they never really thought about that.
The front part hits their guy's chest before the rest of you does, and they just feel, some women I know feel awkward about that.
Yeah, I could see that.
So there's that. So I don't know, but I think, you know, I think he'd be great, and I think his wife is great. It'd be nice if she were a Christian. I mean, it's ideal that you come from the same place spiritually.
Equally yoked.
But, but she's the one who encouraged him to get back to his faith, which was not hers.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, so my understanding is that's what happened, that she encouraged him to get back and get right with God kind of thing. So God bless her. I think she's a class act. And he'd get my vote if he ran. And, you know, I think he's great. All right, guys, it's been fun. See you guys all tomorrow on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.